Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back. We got a jam-packed show for you and a really good Grace's Goodies coming up in the next segment. So stay on the show. Stay near your computer because these are going to go really, really fast. And 617 says, Grace, why isn't there a White House reporter that will call out Psaki for her obvious lies? This is because Jen Psaki's up there right now. She's taking questions on General Mark Milley. And it's amazing how this administration, they never, ever give even a little bit of honesty. You know, they never level with you even slightly. And it's wonderful for the reporters because this is exactly what they deserve. I've said that over and over again. These people begged for this administration to be in power. They helped them at every step of the way. They put down their coats over the puddle so that this administration wouldn't get their feet wet. They really protected them and sugarcoated everything. And now they're getting treated like absolute crap. We're not getting any answers out of this administration. And that's what they should expect, that of course. And so Jen Psaki was asked about this story. If you're behind on what's happening with General Mark Milley, let me give you a brief rundown here. A lot of people are calling for him to resign or for President Joe Biden to fire him. And I'm just going to read here quickly from Powerline blog. Bob Woodward has written a new book in which he makes the sensational allegation that General Mark Milley conspired with counterparts in China against then-President Donald Trump. In the book's account, Milley went so far as to pledge he would alert his counterpart in the event of a U.S. attack. This is in the Washington Post. Stressing the rapport they'd established through a back channel, General Lee, you and I have known each other now for 5 years. If we're going to attack, I'm going to call you ahead of time. It's not going to be a surprise. So Joe Biden and Jen Psaki and Anthony Blinken and Jake Sullivan, they're all really, really nice to the Taliban. They're all really, really understanding of the Taliban. And General Mark Milley is really, 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 really nice to China and all of his counterparts with their rapport. The only people they're not really, really nice to are the people who didn't vote for Joe Biden. You notice that? That's when they get real tough. I wonder if Milley, when he sees all of these bad reports coming out, you think he's experiencing some white rage? I know he wanted to learn about it for quite some time. Maybe he's experiencing it all on his own right now. If this account is true, again, this is from John Hinderacher, Milley's conduct, while perhaps not rising to the constitutional level of treason, is about the worst of which any military man could be accused. It would certainly require termination, and there is likely a provision of the federal code under which criminal charges could be brought. Now, a lot of people are skeptical that Woodward and Costa are even telling the truth, but it's still, if you're a reporter, it's still definitely worth asking Jen Psaki about. Let's listen to Psaki's response.
Well, it's the obligation of every chairman of the Joint Chiefs to follow constitutional orders to prevent unlawful military action. That's what the president believes. But it's also important to understand the context of when this reporting was happening during, and the fact that the former president was fomenting an insurrection, and there was broad concern from a range of members of his national security team about his behavior and fitness for office. And I know you all know and have reported on that context, but that is missing a little bit as people are discussing this.
So you think General Milley may have been acting patriotically by having these conversations?
Again, I'm not going to give further analysis other than to say that the president believes he's patriotic, that he is, his fidelity to our Constitution is unquestionable, and he has complete confidence.
All right. I have a few things to say about this because I was really just thinking about it. And I'm thinking to myself, at what point did Democrats, obviously no one in the Biden administration would ever step out of line here and criticize General Milley. I mean, they all seem to have this real fierce loyalty. The loyalty that Milley has to China, they all have to each other. And no one ever gets fired. No one ever gets thrown under the bus. They send Anthony Blinken out all the time. He's just blinking in front of the camera like a deer in the headlights. There's never any repercussions. Now, I guess my question, and I might sound naive, is what happens if the Democrats, like other Democrats, maybe some senators, do start to say, maybe we should look into this. If they're not directly part of the Biden administration, if they're not working under Joe Biden, does anyone say push back against this and say maybe? And then the other part, and I was just talking to Taylor about this, Taylor said, why would they be this loyal and this forgiving and this kind to a guy who's accused of making this massive mistake when he wasn't even, not even during your administration, it was during Trump's administration? And then I said, not to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but I said, there is the old problem that if they decide to cut Milley loose, which they seem to have an opportunity to do right now, that Milley might be able to turn around and spill some beans on the Biden administration, because we never got a lot of clarity about how Afghanistan was botched so badly. And so I have a feeling that everybody's covering everybody else's butts, if you catch my drift. That's just my theory. And I probably didn't put that in a perfect way because it just came to me. But if you've been following what I'm getting here, it's like, yeah, they could cut Milley loose, but that might open up another can of worms. Nick D, who texts me all the time here, 339, says he acted patriotically. These people are such gaslighters. They really are. Jen Psaki, I wrote about Jen Psaki being a gaslighter like her second week as press secretary, and she exceeded all expectations. I mean, it's amazing how this woman can look at people right in the face and just lie. And she does it with a smug, condescending smile. It's pretty amazing. I want to move on here from Milley for a second because there's a couple of fun stories out there, and one of them is insane. I have to get people's take on this. The Guardian has decided that Dr. Fauci is the sexiest man alive. The British newspaper, The Guardian.
Fauci ouchie.
Oof. Please don't play that, Jared. You're upsetting me now. The British newspaper The Guardian raised eyebrows for dubbing Dr. Anthony Fauci the sexiest man alive at the top of a social media post. They also put up on the Instagram, it was a picture of him striking a pose in a photo shoot, and it said, they wrote how an 80-year-old scientist, doctor, and public servant has become an unlikely cult hero for millions of people during the COVID pandemic. It gets worse. At the core, I'm reading in my sexy voice because there's, you know, it's supposed to be like this sexy pinup ad, I guess, of Fauci. At the core of Tony's popularity is that people think that this is a man who is speaking the truth and will not let anything stand in the way, co-director John Hoffman told The Guardian. Tony is the signal amid the noise. People are able to sense that there's a lot of noise and their ears are trying to find the signal. And Tony is the signal.
Well, look down, you'll find the signal.
Oof. How? You know, there's a lot of things that are, that people try to tell me about Dr. Fauci. Like, oh, he's so trustworthy. He's so this, he's so that. I don't buy any of that. But now you're going to try to tell me that this 80-year-old man wearing Dwight Schrute glasses is the sexiest man alive. And Jared, you know my rule. I really don't make fun of how people look. And Fauci's not a bad looking person. I'm not saying anything about how he looks. I'm just saying that to try to now force this whole sex appeal thing on us is just, it's a step too far. I can't handle it. And this is how they think they're going to sell papers, or I don't even know if they have papers anymore, but that's not going to do it.
Papers, please.
Now, speaking of ratings and viewers, I have some good news for everybody. MTV's Video Music Awards attract another record low audience. You know why? This year, Howie went on a boycott. He didn't watch the VMAs this year. So he continued his 68-year-old boycott of the VMAs. And it's pretty crazy. How low were the ratings for Sunday night's telecast of MTV's Video Music Awards? So low that the entertainment media are not reporting the numbers. This is from Breitbart. In fact, the numbers are so low that last year's record low of 6.4 million viewers, which was in itself a catastrophe at the time, now looks like the good old days. Last year on MTV alone, it's a simulcast to a couple different places, the VMAs attracted 800,000 viewers. This year, that number dropped to just 600,000. Back in 2011... 12.4 million people tuned in. That is a 75% crash in just 10 years. You know who opened up the award show was Madonna. I've never understood the Madonna thing. And I know that she was big in, I think, the 80s and the 90s. But they always bring her out for these things. I remember even as a kid, remember she kissed Britney Spears on stage? Yes. I remember thinking, I was a huge Britney Spears fan. I still am. Free Britney. But I went to the concerts and everything. And I remember thinking to myself, oh, cool, Britney's out there. Who is this lady? Why? And that was, what, 15 years ago? And she's still popping up all the time.
She's the queen of pop. Of course she is.
I don't think she's the queen of pop. I don't go for that. Dave, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, how's it going, Grace? Thanks for having me on. With everything that's gone on this year, I just have a feeling that this Millie... it's just another scapegoat distraction from Fauci's funding, the distraction from inflation, the distraction from Afghanistan, and everybody's falling for it, hook, line, and sinker. This guy, nothing's going to happen, nothing at all. I mean, ultimately, it's just another story that feels to me is just a distraction from what's really going on.
Yeah, no, Dave, I feel for you, man. I totally get that mentality. I think that's the way a lot of people feel. I think people are really defeated by the last few months, and it doesn't feel like there's ever any justice being served. But you know, I always try to put a positive spin on these things. What could change things is in 2022, if we take back the House, if we take back the Senate, I hate to be this person telling everyone to get out there and vote, but elections have consequences. And that's why right now we're not seeing any consequences for all of these Democrat bureaucrat hacks, because they have the power right now. We have to let that pendulum swing back. I'm really hoping there's going to be a red wave. All right, now, in the next segment, as I told you guys, 844-500-4242, we are going to have an amazing Grace's Goodies. Haven't had one in a while, so stand by for that. I want to talk about what happens if you have a cat that keeps going to the bathroom. No, I won't say that, but we did have a caller earlier today. She called up. She said, Grace, I have a cat who's having issues, and the smell is terrible, but I got the thunderstorm, and oh my gosh, it really works. And it made me think, Jared, every time I get a call from someone or a Facebook message or a tweet, people are always asking me, does it really work? Like, you guys talk about it all the time. And you get this question a lot, too.
I do. I get that in my DMs. I get it from people in everyday life. Yes, it absolutely does work. And the way it works is that it doesn't cover up odors. It doesn't make the room smell flowery. No, what it actually does is it purifies the air. It cleans the air. It sends out the ions, which creates a super oxygen. So the air you're breathing, it's clean. It's free of allergens, pollutants, odors, germs, nasty stuff, some viruses, anything you don't want to be breathing. You just plug in the thunderstorm, you turn it on, and that's it. And within minutes, literally minutes, you have clean, ionized, breathable air.
Yeah, it really is an awesome product. And right now they're offering their 3-pack special, which means you can save $200 on the 3-pack. You'll get 3 units for under $200 and you'll save $200. All you have to do is go to EdenPureDeals.com, click on my name and put in code word GRACE3 to save $200 for their special 3-pack. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Click on my name and use code word GRACE3. We will be back with Grace's Goodies. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. It has been a while since we've done a Grace's Goodies, but it's time.
So you're looking for a deal and you want to make it real.
A money-saving deal.
It's Grace's Goodies.
Goody, goody.
All right, so everybody knows I love the Follinsby Inn. I've been there before with my family. I've been there before with my fiance. I've had listener events there. It is really one of my favorite spots to relax and just have a good time. We have Dennis Swords on with us now from the Follinsby Inn in North Sutton, New Hampshire. And we have a great deal for everyone, don't we, Dennis?
Yes, we do. So good afternoon, Grace. Always great to talk to you.
I'm so excited to have you on, Dennis, because if everyone right now goes to GraceCurleyShow.com and clicks on the store, you can get, while supplies last, you can purchase a one-night stay valued at $200 for just $100. That's half off. And I want to tell you guys a little bit about the Follinsby Inn because it's a beautiful spot. It's great to walk around. They have 17 unique historic guest rooms. It's a really nice spot right near Kezar Lake, so you can walk around the lake, maybe sit by the fire. It's perfect in the fall. I do a fall trip there every year. But Dennis, the thing that I really want to hit here is the food. I mean, whenever I recommend this place to people, they come back and say to me, oh my gosh, Dennis's breakfasts just blow their mind. Tell people a little bit about what you cook up at the Follinsby Inn.
Well, I always try to develop new, original recipes. I've been doing some really old New Orleans classics. One of them's called Eggs Hussard. That's the dish that made Brennan's Restaurant a destination in New Orleans. And it's very much like Eggs Benedict, except that you also use a Marchand de Vin sauce on top of it, and it makes just a very delicious, unique breakfast.
You also have incredible granola, yogurt, coffee. Every time I've been there, I've just had the best time. And it's a really unique spot. I really encourage people to check it out if you just want to have a little getaway and enjoy yourself. There's also complimentary snowshoes for when it gets colder. Like I said, there's puzzles, there's games. We've always had so much fun there, Dennis. And what I always tell people to do is, I say, you're going to be very full after breakfast because Dennis has the whole spread. So you enjoy breakfast, you walk around, you maybe have a late lunch and then bring some cheese and crackers. And people, if they bring wine, Dennis, they can keep it in your little bar area and then just relax there for the night because it's just a beautiful location.
Absolutely. We have a self-serve bar, meaning you can bring in your own wine, liquor, and food and use the refrigerator behind the bar. When it gets cold, we'll have the fires going. And like you said, we have the snowshoes. The lake is wonderful year-round. We have the kayaks are still out, so people can still go on the lake. But in the winter, it freezes solid, and you can snowshoe on it. You can cross-country ski on it. I have a neighbor who scrapes off pathways so you can even ice skate on it. So Kezar Lake is always a lot of fun. And then you can come inside and sit by the fire.
All right, now I'm going to tell people how to get these one more time because I'm getting some texts of people wondering. You have to go to GraceCurleyShow.com and click on store to get this Grace's Goodies. And while supplies last, you can purchase a one-night stay valued at $200 for just $100. I have a gift card of my own, Dennis, that I was gifted from a listener. And I will be using that at some point soon. I like to go once a season. So I'm a big fan of the fall at the Follinsby Inn because it's just a beautiful time. And a lot of the homes around the area are really nice. So you can walk around and it's just a great spot to be. Again, that's GraceCurleyShow.com. Click on store. If you need any more evidence that I truly love this place, I've had my parents go there. They've gone there multiple times with their friends. Like I said, my sister has been there. Me and my fiance have been there before. And it's a curly classic, Dennis. We love it at this point.
Yes, it is.
Who's that in the background? Is that Angel?
Yes, that's Ainsley.
All right, yeah, Dennis has two dogs, so you guys will see them when you get there. Go to gracecurlyshow.com to get your Grace's goodie for the Fallens Bee Inn in North Sutton, New Hampshire. That's the Fallens Bee Inn. Do this now, because if Howie announces this during his show, they're going to sell out really quick. Thank you very much, Dennis. We'll talk soon. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. 844-500-4242. What a day we've already had. I mean, there's a lot of stuff I wasn't even able to get to just yet because General Milley took up a lot of time. And also, the testimony from those Olympic athletes, from those gymnasts, was really breathtaking, and so we played a lot of that as well. But now I'm very happy to bring on a new guest of mine, Steve Anzoni. And Steve, you are, first of all, you're the author of the national best-selling book, Tee Up Your Retirement, but you're also the founder of Fairway Financial. Yes. Thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, I'm excited to be here. It is a beautiful day, a lot of stuff going on today, like you might have been listening on the way up, and wow. Crazy.
Yes, no, absolutely. There's so much news today. But what I wanted to start with our talk here is every time I'm dealing with finances, as far as the radio show goes, it's this word that keeps coming up over and over again, and it's inflation. Mm. And we were told at one point by the Biden administration that we didn't have to worry about this, that it was transitory. And now that seems to be shifting. There's more cause for concern. Sometimes they call it inflation. Sometimes they call it overheating. There's always new words for it. But Steve, here's my question for you, because I know you deal a lot with people who are trying to retire.
Right.
How does this inflation affect those people?
Yeah, it's affecting them greatly now, because if you think about it, I mean, gas prices are up,
right?
Food's up, utilities up, construction costs are up. And what have we been doing the last year sitting at home? Construction, right? And it's gone through the roof. But has our interest on our savings gone up through the roof? No. And so that's a huge problem. Like when you're at 8, 9, 10, 11% inflation on these areas, and your bank, your savings is paying less than 1%, this is what gives these folks more stress as they near retirement, is how can I take my conservative savings and keep pace with inflation? Now, the market, fortunately, has been very good, but we all know that that is not guaranteed for life. So the real challenge with pre-retirees or folks who just retired is, okay, this inflation thing is really hitting me hard right now, and like you said, it might be here for a while. How is this going to affect my ability to not only retire, but to stay retired?
Right. Yeah. And that's where I'm curious, especially in regards to what I'm told a lot, because I'm younger, is, you know, you got to be really aggressive with your money. You've got to take risks. But you're dealing with a lot of people who aren't as interested in taking risks anymore. They're interested. And what I think, and we've talked about this off the air a little bit, is that you do get people who come to you and say, listen, I have a lot of different things going. I have a 401k. I have a lot of questions, but I'm getting towards the big point of retiring. Right. I don't know what to do.
It's a challenge, not only emotionally, because when you retire, I mean, think about it, your paycheck stops.
Right.
It stops. Like 20, 30 years of doing something, and it ends. So it's a financial thing, but it's an emotional thing, a stressful thing, because your routine, we all have routines. We get up a certain time, we do certain things, right? Now it's going to change. So that part we're not going to be able to change. But what we want to do is to be able to take the money that they've gathered, right? These assets, savings in the 401k, the IRAs, all these monies you've collected, and then put it together with Social Security. Maybe you're fortunate to have a pension. Most people aren't. But that's the real key, is I call it that financial puzzle. And how do we solve it to account for longevity of income, having that money and keeping that money? Right?
I'm glad I'm speaking with Steve Anzoni. And if you want to call him, if you want to reach out, you can always go to fairwayfinancial.net, or you can call him at 508-552-3230. 3230. I'm glad you brought that up, because Social Security is something that my parents are getting closer to that age, and I think the conversation I hear from a lot of people is, when do you take it? Like, people are always debating, do I do it now? Do I wait? What's your advice regarding that?
Yeah, it's a tough answer, and it's really a bunch of things. So think about this. So if you take it at 62, it's 70% of your full retirement amount, which for most people these days is right around 67. If you defer it to 70, it's 125% of your full. So listen to that swing. It's a 55% difference if you wait from 62 to 70. The problem is, can you? And for a lot of people, they're doing the math saying, well, if I take it early and I invest it, maybe I'm ahead of the game. So really, there's a lot of factors that can play. One is health. How's your health? If your health is really good, then maybe there's longevity in your family, and maybe that's a consideration. Whether you're married or single, that's a consideration, right? And you'll get this look on your face.
I
Go
know,
ahead.
Because, okay, now this might be crazy, but I have to ask this. Because when I was younger, my mom would always tell me about the lottery. She would say, if you ever win the lottery, this was the advice. If you ever win the lottery, take the lump sum, because you never know when they're going to run out. Do you think people have that mentality with Social Security? Like, if I'm going to be the sucker who waits till I'm 70 and there's going to be nothing left?
A lot. I've got a lot of phone calls that say, Steve, I don't trust the government.
Hey,
want it. I want it now.
Right.
I want it when I'm 62 in one day.
Yes.
I want that check. And I get it. I understand. But I've been in this business for 3 decades, and I've heard that for 3 decades. Social Security is here. I know it's supposed to run out in 2033, but you know what? 1986, when I started, it was supposed to run out in 2028, then it was 2038, then it was 2033. It has to be here in some way, in some form. And yes, they are going to attack it again. And when I say attack, tax it again. In other words, there's 2 layers of taxes, 50% and 85%. They'll probably add a third. They'll probably do some capping. They'll probably take away that incentive to defer it from 67 to 70, because 8% return is guaranteed in writing from age 67 to 70. Who's getting 8 guaranteed today? Nobody. So it is a major question, because Social Security is the last pension out there, really, for most people, including me, right? So I'm grappling with it too, right? And a lot of my clients do that. So what we do, logically, is to sit down and to go through, first of all, their feelings. How do you feel about it? Steve, I don't know. I don't think I trust him. Fine, take it, right? Or, you know what? I'm working now. I don't want to take it. Because, now watch this, Grace. If you're not full retirement age and you take Social Security early and you're working and making too much, they're going to take it away, a part of it. So you can't even keep all the money that you put in.
Now, tell me the age again. It's 62 in one day.
So at 62, you can take Social Security early if it's a widow situation. But let's just say it's 62. That is called early retirement.
Okay, now my mom's going to kill me because I'm mentioning her again, but she used to say she was going to pull up to the building and wait on her birthday, and then right when the clock struck 12.
I want to meet your mom.
Yes.
She sounds really cool.
She does not trust them with this money at all. Now, Steve, we don't have a ton of time left, but the other thing I wanted to say is I know that you are an expert with all things retirement. Again, if people want to buy your book, it's a national best-selling book, Tee Up Your Retirement. You can also call Steve at 508-552-3233. But people hear retirement, and I know this because this is what I think. I hear retirement and I think, I don't have to worry about that. That's a long way off.
Mm.
It's not, though.
Mm-mm.
And you deal with people who are young, and you try to help them figure out how to set themselves up to have a retirement.
Definitely. I mean, well, my kids are 30 and 27, so I talk about it now. I mean, I'm in the business, right? So actually, what I'm trying to tell them to do is tax-free is better than tax-deferred. In other words, do the Roth version of the 401k. Take a little bit of a hit now, because you want to control the money. Because the last thing I want to do with my money and my clients is to have the government be in control at the most crucial time, when their paycheck stops, right? Now, all of a sudden, the government's in control of their money? Nah, I don't want that for them.
I mean,
no.
You can tell that I'm not on board for that.
I can tell. So I really, what I try to do, and that's a great tease into the next time we get together, because I'm going to talk to you about how to disinherit the IRS.
I like the sound of that.
I'm going to show you a way, by the way, legally and with their blessing, okay, that you can do this. There are products out there that are backed by the government that do this already. But we just have to get the people aware of it to take advantage of it.
Disinherit the IRS. Mm-hmm. That is a great tease for mm-hmm. our next segment here.
Yeah.
Steve has a special offer for our listeners today. I just mentioned his book, and you're probably thinking, well, I'm going to go online and get that. But wait, if you call now for your complimentary retirement income review, you'll also get a copy of Steve's national best-selling book, Tee Up Your Retirement. Steve can show you how his tools and strategies can not only protect and grow your money, but also give you that added peace of mind when something like inflation is rearing its ugly head, which if you go to the grocery store and try to buy anything, you know it's happening right now. Call Steve today at 508-552-3230. That's 508-552-3230, or visit fairwayfinancial.net. Steve, thank you so much for coming on the show. We look forward to having you next month.
Thank you very much. You're welcome. Have a great day, everybody.
And now, it's a shorter version of this, but we are going to do a quick, so now Steve can sit back and see, I'm not a financial expert, but I do give advice. This is Dear Grace.
Ladies and gentlemen, the story you are about to hear is true. Only the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
This is, the listen lady.
Yeah, well, listen lady. I got so many problems, I don't even know where to begin here.
All right, so this is the time of the show. We usually do this on Wednesdays where people can send in their inquiries and I give out my best advice. And, you know, some people have been saying I'm a little bit of a guru. And this is how you do it. You send your questions to Grace at GraceCurlyShow.com. Jared usually weighs in as well. You get the male and female perspective. Or, you know, you could just say you get the birthing people's perspective.
You get the human X perspective.
Right. So here's the first one. Dear Grace, I've been seeing a guy for almost 7 years. There is no ring in sight. I really love him, but I can't bite my tongue anymore. I've been the bridesmaid at all of the weddings, never the bride. Is it wrong for me to give him an ultimatum? Jared, I'm going to let you answer this first, and then I'm going to give my response.
This is a tough one because, again, there's so much that is solved by that one little piece of paper. Like, there's so much that's solved by that. But ultimatums are always a bad idea unless
I
you
disagree.
Are prepared to follow through.
I disagree. I have heard, this might come as a shock, but I have a lot of friends who've been married for a long time. They're older than me. You would be stunned to know how many women have given ultimatums and ended up with very successful marriages. Sometimes when you hear ultimatum, it sounds so scary. It sounds like a Bond villain being like, listen, it's now or never. The truth is that a lot of guys, I don't want to stereotype, I don't want to paint with a broad brush, a lot of guys need a kick in the rear end to get their acts together. And I'm waiting around for 7 years, no ring in sight. I think you got to say something. You can't sit there and let time go by.
I mean, sure. I'm just saying, if you're going to issue the ultimatum, be prepared. Well, I mean, you know, it's again.
Oh, you're saying.
I don't want to get all. Yeah.
You're saying like in a situation where you say it's me or the cat and the person picks the cat. Like,
yeah, you got
to
go.
I mean, you better be ready to actually stand by your ultimatum.
Because
I didn't think about that.
For this, you have to weigh it. And it's again, you love the person. You've been with them for 7 years. And it really kind of is just a label. I mean, it's you're married. It's a label. It's a piece of paper. It helps with end of life decisions. I get all that stuff. Fine, but really, that's all it is. If you
not
love
to
you,
girls, it's not. I mean, it's the ring. It's the wedding. It's so much more than that.
Well,
I
then
mean,
just have a party where you wear a wedding dress.
No, absolutely not. Okay, listen. Okay, I just said I was going to give you the male perspective and the female perspective. Listen to me. You give the ultimatum. And Jared's right about one thing. You stand by it. If he doesn't cough up a rock, you walk. I didn't even mean to rhyme that. That is perfect.
She is a poet. No one knows.
No rock, you walk, sister. Okay, let's do one more. I love this. We really got to start making these segments longer. All right, Dear Grace, my coworker drives me crazy. She constantly makes me watch stupid YouTube videos that she enjoys, always talks about her dogs, and the worst part, she's a loud chewer. I can't take it anymore. We sit in cubicles and there is no escape. My work is suffering because even when she's not talking to me, I'm ready for her to break into conversation, or I'm listening to her chomp on her salami sandwich. Help. This is a tough one because everyone should have a limit to how many YouTube videos you show someone else. Have you ever been to a party where someone puts on like a YouTube video that they want you to watch and then you end up down a rabbit hole or something?
Oh, yeah. Well, not to parties, but yes, the rabbit hole, yeah.
People are addicted to showing you. And here's the thing. Not every YouTube video that you think is funny, everybody else thinks is funny. There are exceptions. Like yesterday, rest in peace, Norm MacDonald passed away. We were all showing each other funny videos. But at a certain point, you got to put your foot down and say to the salami chewer, listen, we have to get some work done. You need boundaries.
Yeah, and to the salami chewing, I will say this just as a general office etiquette. Chew with your mouth closed. Nobody needs to hear that.
Yeah.
Practice it if you can't do it, like a child. Practice it, please.
And also, I'm kind of the mindset of if it's cubicles, there's probably some sort of lunch space where you could go and eat your lunch. I think there's a reason they have little tables and stuff. It's so that the waft of your tuna fish is not entering my work zone when I'm on a conference call. Like, go eat it in the conference room or wherever you're supposed to eat.
Yeah, we're kind of cramped here because there's only so much workspace when we're prepping for the show and editing, and it's a fast-paced environment, so you kind of eat when you can. You know, we don't really get a lunch break, per se. So sometimes we'll have to eat next to each other and overlap, but we generally have a pretty good rhythm of etiquette here.
Yes,
and
yes.
That's what you have to develop.
Also, I don't think I have time for one more. Maybe, you know what? I'll save this one for Howie. I'll let Howie chime in on this. 844-500-4242. Thank you again to Steve. I can't wait for next month. We're going to do this once a month, and we'll start taking your questions, too, if you guys have questions for Steve. We'll be right back with Howard Lawrence Carr. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Today's car crossover is brought to you by Fairway Financial. We just talked to Steve, and it's definitely a great spot to go. If you have any questions about your retirement, preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. All right, Howie Carr is in here. He is going to help us with a little bit of Dear Grace. But first, we want his take on the poll question, which really is the question everyone's asking in regards to General Mark Milley today. Today's poll question is brought to you by Kennedy Carpet. Howie has used Kennedy for decades, and I'm going to make a visit there very soon. For all of your flooring needs and carpet cleaning, go to kennedycarpet.com today. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Do you believe the Woodward Costa story about General Milley?
Howard?
Yes, I think your poll question has been overtaken by news. They've pretty much confirmed it.
I'll say yes, then, in that case.
75% of the audience says yes.
All right, now here is the question for Howie. We're going to finish up Dear Grace with this question. I would love to get your advice. Dear Grace and Howie, I started dating a new guy. He is handsome, funny, and has a good job. There's only one problem. He is cheap. I didn't notice it at first. He paid for our first few dates, but now I notice it because he is constantly asking me to split things with him, including sandwiches, and he asked me to split the cost of a parking meter. Is there anything I can do, or should I just learn to live with the cheapskate?
That doesn't sound like a real question. How do you split the cost of a parking meter?
You say, can I have a dollar? It costs $2. Can I have a dollar? Will you pay me back?
Is that too
cheap even for you?
The last time I was at a parking meter was yesterday in downtown Needham. It cost a quarter. I don't know how you chop it up. I handled the mailroom manager a quarter.
What do you think she should do? Should she learn to live with the cheapness?
Once she's married, it's communal property, right?
I don't know if you even want to go down this road if you're splitting sandwiches. Hey, by the way, if you're a cheap bastard, go to gracecurlyshow.com, click on store, get your phones, be in for half off. All right, Howie Carr is coming up next.